This is LBC London News.
Capitol Hill hasn't seen a day like this for generations.
You don't need to order people out of the room to have these private conversations about subjects of ongoing investigation.
As far as Donald Trump is concerned and impeachment is concerned, I don't see where he personally was involved.
But the president in this country is not above the law.
And also, as you look back...
No. Next question.
London's news, all the time. This is LBC London News.
Well, 12:23 on LBC London News. So the FBI boss, fired by Donald Trump over an investigation into US-Russia links, is preparing to give evidence about the scandal. James Comey would deliver a statement to a Senate committee saying the president asked him to let go of the probe. Joining me live on the line now is our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks. Simon, thank you for joining me. I've got my favourite chair and popcorn ready for this one. What more can you tell us?
Well, I think that's a very good idea, because I think we're in for a day of high drama up on Capitol Hill. There is a great sense of moment here today, historically, Andre. I mean, there have been few Capitol Hill testimonies as eagerly awaited by the country as this. James Comey, due to testify publicly at 3 o'clock London time before the Senate Intelligence Committee. There are those here who say the city hasn't seen anything like it since Colonel Oliver North testified in the Iran-Contra scandal during Ronald Reagan's presidency. Others say this is as big as Watergate. Indeed, the former Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, in a speech in Australia a couple of days ago, said that he is now convinced that this issue puts Watergate into the shade. So the stakes here are very, very high, both for President Trump and also for his fired FBI Director, James Comey. And James Comey, a veteran Washington operative, stole a march over Donald Trump yesterday while Donald Trump was on his feet in Ohio speaking to supporters and talking about his plans to rebuild America's infrastructure. Suddenly, James Comey did what we didn't expect him to do. He authorized the Senate Intelligence Committee to publish the written statements that he is furnishing the committee that alleges President Trump, in essence, he doesn't use this phrase, but he clearly draws the picture of a president attempting to obstruct justice. President Trump, he says, insisted that he wanted loyalty from his FBI director. That's a conversation that would be wholly inappropriate given the independence politically of the FBI director from presidents of the United States. President Trump told James Comey he wanted Mr. Comey to let this go, this being the investigation into the fired National Security Advisor Michael Flynn and ties that we now know he had to the Russians. He urged James Comey to lift the cloud that was hanging over the White House that Donald Trump said was impairing his ability to govern. And he even at one point, according to James Comey, suggested that perhaps the FBI should be investigating Christopher Steele, that former British intelligence official who compiled a dossier about Donald Trump for one of the president's then political opponents, in which a variety of salacious allegations are made concerning Donald Trump's conduct on a visit to Moscow. James Comey said that he didn't think that was a good idea to have that investigation because he thought it would only fuel the notion that Donald Trump was personally under investigation, which, of course, the president of the United States was not. The White House has seized on that. President Trump's lawyer says the president feels completely and utterly vindicated by James Comey's statement. But in fact, he's only talking about one narrow part of it, the bit where James Comey says that he confirmed to President Trump in conversations that the president was not under personal investigation. The lawyer, the White House, and so far, the president, the tweeting president, they've had nothing to say about this other series of enormously damaging allegations that James Comey is leveling against Donald Trump, that, as I say, appear to amount to obstruction of justice. And that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of a former member of the prosecution team in the Watergate era, writing in today's Washington Post. He believes that what James Comey is laying out here is a case for the president to be charged with obstruction of justice.
Now, Simon, we've got this seven-page statement already from James Comey. Are we going to actually learn anything different? Does it depend on the questions asked of James Comey today?
Yeah, no, I think that that's a big issue, Andre. I mean, obviously, James Comey managed to dominate the news agenda here yesterday by publishing this statement early. But there are questions now. Did he keep any powder dry? Has he got anything else in his back pocket that he's suddenly going to pull out of his pocket and lob at the White House during the course of this testimony? That has to be a worry for Donald Trump and the people around him. However, by publishing this testimony early, James Comey has also given Donald Trump and his supporters up on Capitol Hill, some of whom sit on that Senate Intelligence Committee, he's given them several hours to war game how they are going to handle Mr. Comey during his appearance up there in the hearing room in a few hours' time. What questions are they going to ask? We know that some Republicans are going to say to James Comey, well, hang on a second, if you felt all this pressure, if you felt that Donald Trump was behaving so egregiously that you actually picked up the phone and called the Department of Justice and said, look, I've had 9 conversations with this guy personally, you now need to keep him away from me or only allow him to converse with me in a circumstance in which there are witnesses present. If you felt things were so bad, why didn't you blow the whistle? Why didn't you make it absolutely clear that the president of the United States was behaving in such a wholly inappropriate way? So that's definitely one line of questioning that Republican supporters of Donald Trump are going to follow. I would suggest if you listen along to the testimony with us later in the day, keep an ear out for wavering Republicans, I would describe them as. Men like Marco Rubio of Florida. You remember Little Marco, as Donald Trump always used to call him on the campaign trail last year. Keep an ear out for John McCain of Arizona, a former Republican presidential candidate. They are potential massive Republican Party problems for Donald Trump. And at the end of the day, Donald Trump's presidency falls or continues based on Republican Party opinion up on Capitol Hill. It's not going to be about the Democrats. It's not going to be about reporters. It's not even going to be about James Comey. It's going to be about those Republicans up on Capitol Hill and whether they think the president of the United States is, first of all, still politically useful to them, and secondly, whether they think that they can legitimately carry on working with him and supporting him, despite the scale of the allegations that are being made against him.
Now, Simon, this is happening in Washington at a time when everyone's at work, but there're going to be lots of people going to be taking the time off just to have a look at this. How are you watching this, and how is everyone interested in this?
Well, I shall be in my newsroom. I'm going to be interested to see. We have 9 TV screens on a video wall in our newsroom here. And because we're those kind of people, we play this rather interesting game.
Those kind of people.
To see how many of those 9 screens are filled with the same picture. And I wonder if we're going to see James Comey testifying on all 9 screens or not. Maybe a little later in the day, I'll take a picture and tweet it out and show everyone. But you're absolutely right. Because of the historic sense of moments surrounding this testimony, the major broadcast networks, not the cable news channels, the actual general broadcast channels here are all planning live news specials. There are bars and restaurants all over Washington, D.C., and I suspect in some other parts of the country where you can also find some of those kinds of people, although not perhaps as many as here in Washington, D.C. There are special watch parties being planned. Bars are opening early because it all kicks off at 10 o'clock in the morning here, so you can go and sit in various bars all over the city and join other people watching this testimony. I mean, this is a seismic moment. It does not, by any manner of means, necessarily lead to the impeachment of Donald Trump. It does not, by any manner of means, necessarily lead to his early departure from the White House. But there's no doubt that this is a moment that is dramatic, can be compared to similarly dramatic previous moments in history up on Capitol Hill. And, you know, James Comey knows how this town works. He demonstrated that yesterday. He's also made it pretty clear that James Comey understands that he was here before Donald Trump got here, and he'll be here after Donald Trump leaves. And I would think that James Comey and the people around him are feeling fairly confident about the way things have played out over the last 24 hours, because they did succeed yesterday completely in outpacing President Trump and his ability to respond to the message that James Comey is delivering. And they also consistently outpace him in terms of just having a greater grasp on the way this town works and a greater understanding of how the political game is played here than Donald Trump. That, of course, was always one of Donald Trump's great strengths with his supporters. He was an outsider. He didn't know how the game was played here, and he didn't want to play it. The problem for him now is that the stakes are very high.
Wonderful stuff, Simon. It's like an episode of House of Cards. I love it. Let's hope everything goes well so we've got something to talk about tomorrow. Thank you very much for joining me, Washington correspondent Simon Marks. Thank you, Simon.